Grease is one of the best loved stage and screen musicals of all time. First performed in 1971, it became a big screen smash hit when the John Travolta, Olivia Newton-John movie version hit the screens in 1978. That movie, however, to some extent brushed over some of the darker elements of the original stage production. But a new production, which opened last night at the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre in Dublin, is revisiting some of those grittier undertones. Jim Sheridan was at the opening night for us here in Arena, and he's with me in studio now. I suppose to get a sense, Jim, really, a lot of people will think of the film. That's what they'll think of, I think, when they hear the words Grease. But you want us to go back to that original 1971 version and think about what the original ideas behind Grease were, which are perhaps grittier, more gritty than the film allowed the story be.
Exactly, Sean. I mean, I think everybody is familiar with Grease from the movie, as you say. It's the 50s, it's candy corn pop, it's rock and roll, the drive in the cars. But I think what's really important about what they're trying to do in the Bord Gáis, which I went to see last night, and by the way, was spectacular, and we'll get more into detail about last night's production, but you're right. It's really important to look at the history of Grease, because it was written in 1971, as you say, in Chicago, by Jim Jacobs and Warren Casey.
Not sunny LA, as the film
Not
would
sunny
have
LA.
Think.
This was the main streets of Chicago. And it was almost experimental theater. These are two guys who had never written a musical before, but grew up in the 50s and had that.
Who were they?
Jim Jacobs and Warren Casey. They were ensemble members of the theater cast in Chicago. And they basically wanted to write a musical that looked at their high school days, but not as the way the 50s were presented to them, which was shiny cars and, you know, the girls were all these lovely Sandra Dee types, as we talk about Sandra Dee, that actress who became synonymous with American teens in the 50s. This beautiful, blonde, perfect daughter who loved boys and got excited by boys, but would never go near a boy. So they wanted to reflect their sort of upbringing. So what they did was, they wrote this musical very quickly. It went on in a basement to about 100 people with black sacking cloth, brown paper on the walls, and about 100 people sitting on the floor. Now, this was rough. This was profane. It was, you know, for the time, it would have followed on the tradition of Hair. This would have been very dark and rough.
So we were getting a set of rough guys, not maybe these kind of nicely coiffed boys who are maybe being a little bit rude in their talk. We got a much rougher version of that. And the young women were presented in a much more rounded fashion, were
exactly,
they?
Exactly, that's it. But, however, this profane, coarse, rough and ready version that was put on the basement had some great tunes. So we had original tunes that were right there from the start of the show. We had Grease Lightning. We had We Go Together. We had Beauty School Dropout. So two New York producers went downtown, or went to Chicago, saw this, and they thought, there's something in this. So what they did, they took it to New York off Broadway. They rounded off some of the edges and they said, we'll put it on for four performances. 128 performances later, it moved onto Broadway. Again, more changes, more things polished off, rubbed off, and it ran for 3,000, listen to this, 3,388 performances. It broke all records.
And I thought I saw in your notes somewhere that you said that if you there was a 4,000% return to investors. So am I right in thinking, if my maths are right, if you put in £1,000, you got 4 million back.
That's it. Unheard of.
Wow.
Unheard of. So as you can imagine, with that type of success, Hollywood were sniffing around the edges. But the problem is, trying to get a musical made in Hollywood in the 70s was virtually impossible. There was no money. But Robert Stigwood, Alan Carr, two producers, they bought the film rights literally for a musical, for a song, $200,000 or $60,000 thereabouts. And they went to Paramount, and Paramount said, okay, I tell you what, we'll give you $6 million. Not a lot of money. But the guys had secured John Travolta, who was, you know, major
star. He'd just been on Saturday Night Fever.
Saturday Night Fever was well known on TV from Welcome Back, Cotter. And they cast Olivia Newton-John, this beautiful Australian pop star. She was in the charts. Now, this is where Grease really changes, because the major change, they decided, we are making this a star-driven vehicle for our leads. So they got rid of nearly all the original songs. They got rid of, originally Grease was an ensemble piece all the characters, the T-Bird
had stories to tell.
Exactly.
So you had a nuanced version of 1950s society rather than just the two lead stars, and you know there'd be a couple of nice songs for the also rans, which is kind of what we get in the film in lots of ways.
Well, what they did was very clever in one way. They made it very commercial. They decided, we have these two stars, we've got a couple of great songs, so what we need to do is, first thing, we're not going to be in Chicago, we're going to sunny LA, open top cars. Didn't like the name Burger Palace Boys, so they changed that to the T-Birds. So Danny's gang is the T-Birds. And they also said, well, we've got a star here, Olivia Newton-John, she needs a big song. So Hopelessly Devoted to You was written for her.
Didn't exist. In this original stage show. And nor did You're the One That I Want.
Correct.
Original stage
Correct.
Show.
Correct. And John Travolta went, well, if she's getting a song, I'd like so a song. So they wrote Sandy.
Big, didn't exist in the
didn't
original.
Exist. And he also said, which I love the star power, Grease Lightning is a brilliant song. So what he decided to do, and that's originally sung by Kinnicky in the musical, he said, I'll have that too.
So he took that off one of the, which he again would flesh out that other
Correct.
Character.
He went to his friend, Jeff Conaway, who was in the original production, as was John Travolta at some point during the run, as was Richard Gere, as was, all these people had been through the stage version, but went to him and said, I want Grease Lightning.
Okay, well look, that's enough maybe about the history of it, because we really do want to talk about the production that you saw last night. So what we get here, if I understand correctly, Jim, is yes, it's a grittier version, but those added songs, the songs that were added into the film are still there, but other songs that were disappeared from the film are put back in. So what do we get then?
This is great. Nikolai Foster is the director of this version, and what he's done, and it's inspired, to be honest, he has resurrected some of the songs that didn't make it into the film. He has made this back to being an ensemble piece. So he has basically weaved the original script, the Broadway script, the movie, but, and I think it's a masterstroke, he's got all the hit songs in there.
Yeah, so you're not going to go along thinking, oh, I'm not going to hear, though You're the One That I Want, I'm not going to hear Hopelessly Devoted. You're going to hear all of those.
Exactly. He is giving those fans of Grease, but what you're getting is the subtle nuances, slight changes in narrative, slight changes in characters' motivation, and that brings us to, I suppose...
Let's listen to a little bit, because Hopelessly Devoted to You does appear then in this new stage version, which has been touring but is now in Dublin, and it's Martha Kirby who plays the character here, the Olivia Newton-John character, so let's listen to Hopelessly Devoted, a little bit of it.
Guess mine is not the first heartbroken. My eyes are not the first to cry. I'm not the first to know there's just no getting over you. I know I'm just a fool who's willing to sit around and wait for you. Baby, can't you see there's nothing left for me to do? I'm hopelessly devoted.
So that's Martha Kirby in the part of Sandy, and she is playing the part of Sandy in this production of Grease that's on at the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre in Dublin at the moment. Jim Sheridan was there last night. And even as you listen to that, Jim, there's kind of more, you said this as we were listening there, more emotion involved in this.
Absolutely. When Sandy steps out on stage, the first thing we notice, we talked about the changes. This is not a blonde Sandy. This is a brunette Sandy. This is not the sweet, innocent, ingenue Olivia Newton-John, who seemed a little bit dim, nice but dim. This is a much more...
The character of Sandy,
did yeah, not Olivia Newton-John. Yeah. This is a much more... Martha, as you say, Martha Kirby. She gives us a much more sassy, rounded-out version of Sandy than the sweet, innocent version that we knew. And Hopelessly Devoted is a showstopper. Yeah. And she delivers it with a much more, I felt, an emotional punch than we're used to. Because in the film, she's just standing wistlessly singing. This is after a big dance scene. She's watched Danny. They've fallen out again. And she basically pours her heart out through this song.
And what does that the shift back to Chicago give us? Because I'm guessing that that would give us about a chance for more. Greece will mean a lot something else in Chicago, you know?
The Chicago thing gives us, on some of the street scenes and some of the gang scenes, like there's extra scenes in there about the T-Bur or the Burger Palace Boys, as they're called, being rousted by the police. There's also hinted a gang war.
Yeah.
You know, and
some
it gives
darker
us
stuff.
Slightly darker, but just slightly darker. I wouldn't overplay the grit, but it gives us a slightly darker feel. As I said, the key to this, which I really liked, is the ensemble. The ensemble.
So
nature.
What characters did you feel that you found out more about in this new version?
Without a doubt. So you imagine this, when this show opened, I'll just say from my point of view, when it opened, you just get an instant wow factor. That technically it's spectacular, the staging, the lighting, and the use of projection. So as the safety curtain goes up, we're looking at a screen which has been projected with 50 images, 50 sounds, and we get basically like a drive-in movie theatre feel as we see a recap or a flashback to the end of that magic summer, where we see our essentially Danny, which last night was played by the understudy, Will Haswell.
A lot of sickness in the cast, seemingly.
A lot of sickness. This was a last-minute change. Will Haswell, was announced as Danny about 1 minute before the show. And I have to say, he equipped himself brilliantly. Sandy, we see them madly in love, and they're saying goodbye at the end of the summer, and then bang, this fantastic band kicks in with Grease Is the Word, that iconic tune. And the stage is filled with light, with colour. The cast come on. This is a young cast. It's bright, it's energetic. And we have, of course, once we meet our Sandy, we meet our Danny, we get Summer Nights. And Summer Nights has always been a great song. And from a musical's point of view, Summer Nights is a masterpiece, because from every line we get from the different characters, we learn about them. So from the guys, they're obviously interested in, you know, how far did you get? Did she put up a fight? Can she get me a friend?
And, you know, but listening to those lines now in 2019 is kind of problematic, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Remember, we're looking at this through 2019 eyes. This was written in 1970s. But we're looking at essentially teenage boys, that bragging where this is the whole nature of the piece. Danny genuinely loved Sandy, but he's not going to tell the guys in the gang that. Mm. So we have the Burger Palace Boys who are asking these questions, and we see the characters, the sweet guy who asks, can she get me a friend? And equally with the pink ladies, we find out as they ask, does he have a car? How much dough did he spend? And this is where we kind of get our first look at Rizzo. And Rizzo is played by Rhianne Louise Michalski. She's got a great line. As Sandy is telling us about this beautiful, lovely, nice guy she met, she comes in with that one killer line, sounds like a drag. Mm. And we know everything about this character in that one line. And now, with this version, because we've gone back to an ensemble piece, those characters are fleshed out. And the ones I would point out that really stood out to me. There was a few kind of standout moments within the show.
I think the DJ was one that you want particularly to mention, isn't it? Yeah.
Vince Fontaine, Darren Bennett. And again, back to the staging. As I say, they not only do they have these projections, but sitting bang center, high above the action, in his DJ booth, is the aging rock and roll DJ, Vince Fontaine, as I said, played by Darren Bennett. He's like the rock and roll god overlooking all the action. And when we get to this part two, he comes down to run the dance contest, and I have to say, he put that show into overdrive. He absolutely looked like he was having the time of his life.
So you really enjoyed this, Jim?
I think this is a great production. I think for fans of the movie, you're going to get everything you're familiar with, but you're also going to get something new. There's more nuance to this production. There's more nuance to the characters. There's some great songs that have been pulled back in, like one, for example, Mooning, which is between Jan and Roger, two of the what would normally be supporting cast. And this is a beautiful piece. They sing to each other. It really lifts the show from being something that you've been so familiar with
into something new. And you won't miss out any of the big hits from...
And can I just mention as well, just a standout moment for me was the moment that Samantha Mumba, Dublin's
own... Oh, she plays Teen
Angel. Yeah. She is playing Teen Angel up until the 24th when Peter Andre will play Teen Angel. And as that scene happened, the moment she arrived, looking angelic, singing beautifully, the Dublin audience reacted straight away.
It's a big yes from you.
Big yes for me.
That's it. Bord Gáis Energy Theatre is where the production of Grease is currently on. And it was Jim Sheridan who was in speaking to us tonight. Sorry, Jim. I can remember Jim Sheridan was gone out of my head, who was in speaking to us about that production. And it runs at the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre until, Jim, when did you say?
It runs until the 28th, I think. Yeah. And
check out full details on the website.
Yeah, 28th of September. And I have to say, it's a fun night with a dance-off at the end.
BordGáisEnergyTheatre.ie for full details.